morning to everyone. I have been coming down here most of my life. 1975, when I was here in a camp meeting out at Hammond, the Lord had been dealing with me to preach. I don't remember how long, but along in there. 1978, I was down here and ministered for the first time in Hammond. And I don't remember a Sunday morning that I was the only outside preacher here. I couldn't believe it. I thought there'd be at least one. I knew most everybody was going to be gone. I thought, well, Brother Brandon will be here. He ain't even here. Oh, well, that's why the Lord gave me another message. And we desire your prayers. We look into the Word of the Lord. I have something this morning for everybody in here. If you don't totally need it now, you will need it somewhere down the road. Because it's something that I have had to have for myself down through the years, and it has worked well. And I appreciate what the Lord has done. I'm not here except by the grace of God and His power this morning. Staying at a place that has wonderful, healthy food, fellowship. There's a room that you can go in this home that has the white pieces of paper, and I ain't totally sure who's done this, but I think I know. Anyway, they have put in scriptures, wrote scriptures, put it on the papers, and hang it in on the walls and places in this room. And I go in there, and I get encouraged every time I walk in there. Well, this morning, you're here, and you're in a place that you can come and get encouragement. You can get fed. You can get blessed. You can get lifted up because God is here. It's not because I'm here, or Brother Rod's here, or Brother Chad's here, or the singers are here. It's because God's here. And that's the main one that we want here this morning, is God. All right. I want to start this. If I was to take, and I took you and stood you up, and put your arms down like this, and I started a rope wrapping around you, and I had somebody else to help me, and we wrapped that rope, and I tightened it up, cinched it a little bit, not real tight, but just tightened it up, then left me some room, and I started leading you everywhere I wanted you to go, what would you do with that? How many of you would like that? Somebody else leading you. You wasn't going where you wanted to go, you going where they were going. And then as time goes on, that rope gets a little tighter and a little tighter, and things begin to change more to the downward point than the upward by far. And that goes on for a number of years. You can't get loose yourself. There's no way, because your hands are down here. The rope is up about here, so you can't get your hands up there to undo yourself. And nobody else is helping you. And you're in a mess. And you look that over, and you think, I wish I could get free. Listen, God didn't make mankind to be a pack mule for sin. He made mankind to serve and glorify Him, to live for Him, to bless souls, and to bless God. And that's why He created mankind. He didn't make us for the devil to wrap us up and take us on a trip the rest of our life. He wants you and I to be free where we can do exactly what He wants us to do. All right, let's start in Psalm 71, the 10th verse, 71 and 10, please. Desire your prayers. It and said here, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. Now, there's a lot of people that get out in life, and there is things that they get involved with, and they want to change, and they can't change. And they get discouraged. And they try to give up smoking, maybe, or they try to give up drinking or drugs. And I've known of people that's had this happen, and they struggle with it, and they struggle with it. And they can't get, and they get real discouraged. And that goes on, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And as that happens, then a lot of times they take a gun and they kill themselves. Or they take I've heard of a man that hung himself in his barn. Or they start a car in a garage and they go that away. The bottom line is this morning, there is people out there that want help, but they don't know where to get it. They don't know how to get it. And I'm here this morning to give you the message of deliverance. And Brother Brandon touched on this at one point. I thought he was going to preach my message. And then he stopped, and I thought, well, I still got something to talk about. So he didn't preach at all. He just got warmed up good. And his message and mine will dovetail right together. And the bottom line is this morning, there's people out there that want help, but they don't know how to get that help. This morning, the Bible tells us, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by Jesus Christ Himself that made the plan and opened the way for you and I to get the help that we need this morning. God wants to help us. He didn't make us to be a pack mule for sin. He made us to glorify God. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. Now this is talking, David here is a situation where his natural human enemies. But I'm thinking, what about the devil? Think him and the imps are sitting around discussing things, so to speak, and saying, we want to do this and we want to do that. We want to catch him blindsided. Listen, a lot of things that people get into start very innocently. It doesn't look like the devil don't lay a big old broad dark picture out there and you say, boy, I don't look good. No, it starts with one little, hey, why don't you try this? Or let's go over here. Or let's do that. And next thing you know, things is beginning to steamroll and you can't stop it. It's got you tied. It's got you chained. It's in a position where you can't do what you want to do. And you're sitting there in the bedroom or you're in the house or you're out in the yard and you're saying, God, I need help. Listen, this morning, he said, is there no one to help me? Can not anyone help me this morning? Is there none to deliver me? Is there none to lift and deliver? Listen, folks, this morning, this is a message. I don't know how this type of message is preached out through the world, so to speak, but I know this, the Church of God preaches it, and there is help for everybody that wants it this morning. There is help. Let's go to Matthew 28 and 18. That scripture says that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then in 7 and 25 of Hebrews, which is a wonderful scripture, says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he said here, he is able to save them to the uttermost. Save them totally and completely. He's not going to save you halfway, a quarter or three quarters. He's going to save you totally and completely. In other words, when he gets through, you can be delivered, praise God. No matter how bad it is, no matter how deep it is, how dark it is, how bound you are, the bottom line is Jesus Christ the righteous said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. I've got the power, everybody this morning, to do what I need to do, what you need me to do. There's people out there that said, I can't get it. Yes, you can. There was a message preached at Myrtle here, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And there was a young person that testified the next morning, said, I went to that altar and I'd struggled with something for a long time. And she came to the conclusion that I'm going to stay here till I get it. Listen, folks, you need to stay till you get it. She stayed down there, and she told the ones that's praying, if it takes all night, so to speak, we're going to get it. And she got it, praise God. She didn't leave there. She got the victory that she needed. The Lord this morning wants us to stay to the place of praying, seeking, fasting, whatever it might be. And sometimes it don't take much time, but sometimes it does. And He wants you to stay there till you get it, praise God. He's got it. He wants you to reach up by faith and get a hold of it. Brother Leslie told me years ago, he said, Carl, do you know why sometimes it takes people a while that they come to the altar and seem like they just stay there? Yeah, why? He said, because they can't get faith, especially if they've been saved and they backslid. And they can't get faith to really believe that Jesus Christ will forgive them again. Listen, folks. I made a mistake several years ago. It wasn't all that bad, but I asked the Lord to forgive me. Well, sometimes if I do make a mistake or speak out of turn or something, I'll go back and double check with the Lord. You may not do that, but I do. And at one time, I'd hurt my leg, and this thing put me down to a place where I was preaching in a wheelchair for about 4 weeks. When I got to the chapel, I got in that wheelchair, and I didn't get out of it till I went out to get back in the truck. And they drive me home. But anyway, I was there. And this is about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, Lord, I was asking Him, I wanted to be sure. Listen, folks, when I die, I want to be sure I'm ready. Before I die, I want to be sure I'm ready. And so I was talking with the Lord. And the Lord stopped me. He said, what does the Bible teach you, child? I said, to forgive. He said, I am the Spirit of forgiveness. I am the Spirit of forgiveness. Sometimes people think I've gone too far. No! The only thing that'll stop you is a sin against the Holy Ghost. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. But this morning, if you're in a position that you're wondering, will God forgive me? Will God do this? Will God do that? Yes, He will. I want to preach a positive message this morning by the Holy Spirit letting us know that Jesus is sitting on the right hand on the throne of grace. And He's right there to help us this morning, praise God. He wants to deliver you, lift you up, save you to the uttermost, deliver you to the uttermost. No matter what it is, God can help you this morning to save them that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Once we get it, He's still right there to help us in any way we need. Right there to make intercession. Oh, thank God this morning for Jesus Christ that died when He appeared to me in that vision in Oregon in 1985. He was in that kind of an archway and He looked at me. I couldn't tell you what He was wearing. I couldn't tell you what He looked like. But He pointed to me and He said, I died for you, child. Listen, He died for every one of us individually this morning. He paid the price and done what needed to be done to give us a salvation and give us a life that's above the scoldums of the world. Save them to the uttermost. All right, let's go to Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Exodus 3, and about the 7th verse here. Exodus 3 and 7. And again, we desire your prayers. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, look at the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now this morning, the taskmasters, the devil is a hard taskmaster this morning. He is not one that's out there lovingly doing people. He's a hard taskmaster. The harder he can work you, so to speak, the worse he can get you into, the better he likes it. And the Lord is looking down this morning and he's seeing that. He saw them and he sees you. And he sees me. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly how long we've done this or that. He knows exactly where we're at in every way. And he said here, and I've come down. Oh, I've heard their cry. This morning he hears our cry. He knows the cry of the heart. Even if you're not doing it by the mouth, so to speak, and with proclaiming it out, he knows down in your heart if you're looking toward God. I was under conviction for, I don't know, several months. I don't know just how long. I know when I got saved. That was the 31st day of October 1971. But I was sitting at the table. Had the other siblings on each side. I was on this end. Mama was on that end. And I was sitting there and tears were streaming. And she looked up at me and said, "What's wrong with you, child? What's your problem?" I was under conviction. God was dealing with my soul. He was giving me the eternal call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And oh, I'm so thankful. On that day in 1971, at past midnight on the 31st day, I guess you'd call me a Halloween baby, I guess, because that's when I got it. I got out of bed and I got down all by myself and I started praying. I don't remember what I said or how long I prayed, but I know this, when I come up from there, I had something I hadn't had before. I had salvation. Brother Clint was preaching on happiness. And when I started coming among the saints and the young people was working with me and talking, and I was doing things with them, and they had something that this old boy didn't have. You know what it was? Happiness. They were a happy group. Young people, let people know you're happy. Let them know that you have something, that when those are coming in that don't know what's going on, let them know that there is a happiness, a joy, and a peace that you have, and they can have also. And oh, I looked at that happiness. I thought, Carl, your daddies give you a lot. And what I mean by that, we had a nice home. We had cars. We had about anything we wanted in a sense. And it wasn't spoiled now, but we had a lot of things. Stuff. Brother Marty Priest had a lot of stuff. And Daddy had a collection of old cars. And we just had a lot of things. But I didn't have happiness. Are you happy this morning? Is that load that you're carrying getting a little heavy? The Lord wants to take that load. He wants to deliver you of that load. And he looked down and he saw the Egyptians, or he saw his people among the Egyptians. And he let them know, I see you. I behold the cry. I hear you. Is coming to me, and I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to oppress you down. It just as down as it can get you. He wants to do destruction. You can look at the lives of people out there, and he has destroyed. One minister one time, a pastor where I was at, he had was doing a more of a teaching that morning than he was really a preaching. But he had pictures of individuals. And one of these pictures had a young lady that was, oh, I don't know how old she was, in her 20s probably, maybe in her late teens. Anyway, one picture there, she was an attractive young lady. And then he said in about 4 years, he showed the other picture and you couldn't hardly tell it was the same girl. And you know what had destroyed her? Drugs. She had got involved in drugs. And it didn't take but a short time that she was in a mess, and she looked at, I mean, you can look on her face, it was almost unrecognizable between the beauty over here and the horror over here. Listen, folks, today, there's not one or two, but there's thousands like that out there that are bound and chained in drugs and alcohol and cigarette, and they want to get free, and they don't know how to do it. There is deliverance. I can save them to the uttermost. Praise God. All right. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, folks, this is now is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable year right now. He's got it set in place. He's been working with it for many a year. But this is the acceptable time. This is your time. You're here. You're hearing the Word of God. And the Lord's letting you know, listen, I can help you. I want to help you. I want to do something for you. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. And the Bible said in one place, said, I say, how does it say it? It said, no man had ever spake like this. That's not quite the way it says it. But anyway, it brings out the point that nobody had ever spoke like Christ. I wish I could have heard that. I mean, I hear it, so to speak, in my spirit. I hear that richness and those blessings. But it'd been nice to meet Him out there. Maybe climbed up in a tree and watched Him come by and listened to Him preach. Oh, what words of wisdom, what words of power. And He said here, He's anointed me. I'm going to tell you, there was never a more anointed speaker than Him to preach the gospel to the poor. Let us get down poor before God. Let us get down low and humble and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on my soul. That one man said, that man went down blessed rather than the other. Listen, we can lift ourselves up and we can do this and that. But the one that got it, he smote his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord wants you and I to get real low today. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, I know You can help me. Oh, today, He said He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm very sorry that this congregation has had the death that you've had, but I know the healing power of God. I've experienced what He's done, and I know He can heal, He can bless, He can work with you in a way that nobody else can do it. So to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. He wants this message of deliverance to be preached. He wants it to be brought out so that you and I can see and know that there's a way out of the situation that we're in. He said to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind. There are so many people out there who's blind. I've never gone to too many, I guess you'd call it sanctuarians by these big groups, but I have been to a few. And one of them was the Gaither, what do you call it, Gaither Homecoming, had in Oklahoma City. And one man got up there and he was saying, I saw the light. I saw the light. And I'm going to tell you, I got to thinking about I saw the light, and I got so happy and blessed, I thought I've seen that light. He has shown it. I've received it. And He's used it and led me and enlightened me and done things. I saw the light. He wants you to see the light. He wants you to have your eyes open. He don't want you blind, but He wants you alive. He wants you to be able to see the good things of God and to set at liberty them that are bruised and hurting. Oh, how hurting are you this morning? How bruised are you? The devil is a good one to get people bruised and banged up, so to speak, and damaged. The Lord wants to heal. He wants to work with that. All right, let's go to some of my favorite reading in the Old Testament, Job 33 and 24. Job 33 and 24. He said here, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness. He said, then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God and he'll be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy and he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men. And if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profit me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. And his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. To bring back his soul from the pit. To enlighten with the light of the living. And it starts over here where it talks about in a dream, the 15th verse and 14th verse, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream and a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing with his sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, multitude of his bones with strong pain. He that, so that his life abhorred bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer. But if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness. Oh, that's what God uses his ministers for and his saints, to let people know that there's one, that he's gracious, that he will deliver from going down, and that he has found a ransom. There is a ransom out there, and it's been paid. And you and I this morning can be delivered by the power of God, no matter how deep. Listen, he don't want you to go into that pit. Brother Salmons had a dream or a vision. What a dream is a vision. He had been praying that the Lord give him a heavier burden for the work of the Lord, for souls. And he said in this vision, he said there was a broad road. He said there was a big, huge chasm, I'm going to call it, down here. And he said people were coming down that road, and they were so many tightly together that they were pushing each other off. And he said, I could hear the wails. I could hear the groans and the moans that was coming up out of that place. And he looked it all over, and he was going down the side of the road, and he was going, turn around, turn around, turn around. Listen, folks, this morning, the gospel message is for you to turn around, to be delivered. We're trying to help you and others in this meeting to see that there's a way out, no matter what your trouble. Listen, saints, if you made mistakes, God is able to take care of that, to forgive that, to deliver, to bless in any way you need. Listen this morning, turn around, he said. And he said they just kept falling in and kept falling in, and he felt so helpless that he couldn't get them to turn around. Listen, that's the life of a minister, trying to get people help, and they seem like they just go on and on and on. I was sitting in the living room with a man one time, and his wife. Wife was with me, and this was a good man. His wife was saved, and he wasn't. And I pled with him and worked with him, I don't know how long, a good little while. And I've never really considered ever doing this, I don't think, but this one brother or one man. And that is, I almost went over and knelt down right in front of him and literally begged him to get saved. I mean, I was begging as it was. But I thought, and I didn't do it. Maybe I should have. But just get down and just plead with him on my knees. Come on. Come on. What's it going to take to get us? Is it going to take us getting down on a bed where our bones are seen sticking out? Our flesh is consumed away. God's talking. He's speaking once, yea, twice. Man's not perceiving it. He gives a dream. He gives a vision in the night. Deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men, and he sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw pride from his purpose and hide pride from the man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit. Jesus Christ. Somebody says God does not love, God loves you too much to send you to hell. And the way I look at it, God don't send anybody to hell. We send our own selves to hell, because we reject the power and the blood that can deliver us. And when we turn that down, it's all he has to say is, depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We send our own selves there. But I've got news for you. Is he not called you? Is he not dealt with you? Is he not worked with you? Yes, I would say he has. He starts with children. Starts calling young people. I've known people that got saved at 7 years old, maybe 8 and 10. Some of them that went on to be teachers, song leaders, good singers among the saints, preachers. And they started young. And God blessed them. Listen, God don't want you to be a pack mule for sin. He wants you to live for Him and to be a blessing to souls that are out there that need you, that need your life of salvation. Need your life of righteousness. Oh, this morning, He said if there be a messenger with Him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man His uprightness. That's what we're trying to do. That He is gracious unto him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Oh, his flesh should be fresher than a child's. Oh, I'm going to tell you, when a person gets saved, there's a change. When real salvation comes to a person, there's a change. One of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my ministry was in South Carolina. There was a man there. I love that man dearly. I still love him dearly. And his wife is saved, and he wasn't saved. And we were praying. The congregation was praying for him. She called me one morning, and she said, I'm not going to name his name, said, he wants you to come talk to him. I said, all right. When I got there, there was nobody there but him. He was sitting in the backyard, had his tailgate of his pickup down. He was sitting on that tailgate and he was looking out. He had the longingest look on his face. And I went up to him and I started working with him. And that day God delivered that man. And I've seen a lot of people get saved in my days, sanctified, healed, blessed. I've seen miracles upon top of miracles in my 50 years of living for God, right in our chapels. And that man that day, when he prayed through him, when he got saved, there was such a change that you could see it. You ever heard the little saying that a couple gets engaged and the little bride just lights up like a light bulb? Or not bride, but fiance just lights up. And you could tell something's happened with her. That's the way it was with him. He just lit up. I looked at him. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But you know what he did? He messed around and he let it go. And he's never been the same since. He's tried a time or two since I left there and went somewhere else to pastor. But he's never gotten it back. And I saw him the other day. He said, "Well, you know, I love you." I said, "I love you too." Oh, today, folks, we love you. The ministers here love you. The song leaders love you. The trustees and the gospel workers and the saints love you. We want the best for you. We want you to have something you've never had, or maybe give it back up. Oh, today there is deliverance. Oh, there's great deliverance today. All right, let's go to 69 and 14 of Psalms. 69 and 14 of Psalms. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Have you ever heard of quicksand? Back years ago, when I was watching TV, I like to watch Tarzan movies. And there was times that people get out into quicksand, and you can't get out by yourself. And the more you move, the deeper you sink. And after a while, you just plumb under the sand and you die. Listen, folks, the mire and the muck of sin has got you and is pulling it down lower and lower and lower. And you can't get out by yourself. That's why you've never been able to do what you want to do. It's because it's got you in a position where He wants you. He's got you in a position that you can't do anything but what He wants you to do. It's like a bull or a cow, bull, and they put rings in their noses. And you know why they do that? Where they can work with them. And you put that's a very tender spot. We used to have one that was a portable one. I guess that's what you'd call it. In other words, it wasn't permanent in the nose. You could use it, and it was like a pair of pliers, and it would clip in that nose. And I could get that little bull or steer or whatever. I gave him to do anything I wanted him to do. He'd follow me like a puppy. I'm going to tell you, there's thousands of people following the devil like a puppy. He's got them tied. He's got them in the mire. He's got them exactly where he wants them. And the more you move, the deeper you get. And the tighter it gets. Oh, today, he wants to get you down just as low as he can get you. All right, let's go to 18 and 17 of Psalms. 18 and 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. All right, let's go to 59, 1 and 2 of Psalms. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. And then Luke 1 and 74, it brings it right over into the New Testament. And I'm thankful for that this morning. It brings it right over the New Testament. It said that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Said, grant unto us that we being delivered out. How many enemies you got this morning? What is a strong enemy? What is a strong enemy? Luke 11. The first preacher I ever heard talk on these scriptures that I can remember was your pastor. And Brother Michael got up at Monarch several years ago, and he preached on these scriptures right here, and I don't remember ever hearing it before that. And he had a real good message that night. 11 of Luke and 21, it said here, in that hour, no, I'm in the 10th chapter, no wonder I don't read right. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now, who's the strong man? It says here there that when the strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods, or at peace. That right there is talking about the enemy. And having people bound and chained, and having them where he wants them. But it said when a stronger than he. Oh, this is what I like. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. When a stronger, praise God. When a stronger, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, folks, the devil is no match for God. He's no match for Christ. I don't know where the devil come from. One man said, the first thing I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven is where the devil come from. I can't tell you, but I know he's real. I know he's a spirit, and I know he works. But I also know the other side of it, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous, the one that has all power in heaven and earth to help us with a strong man holding us and binding us. But when that stronger comes on, listen, when you get Jesus Christ on the trail, so to speak, and get him working, I'm going to tell you, there's not anything he can't do. Back in the winter, I was at Brother Marshall's house, going to be there for Sunday morning, about 4:30 in the morning. I was awake. I thought, well, I'll study a little bit. And I got to studying, and the Lord got to visiting me. And he showed me, he said, the least of my power is greater than all other power combined. There's no match for that. The least. In other words, all he got to do is rev his engine a little bit and it'll be more power. He don't even have to do that. The least. No matter how chained and bound, no matter how tight the rope is, no matter how deep you are in the mire, in the muck, in the bad stuff, no matter how far down you are, Jesus Christ the righteous has the power to deliver you with no problem at all this morning. Some people say, well, I can't get it. Yes, you can. If this old boy can get it and live it for over 50 years, you can too. You can get saved. You can live for God. Young people, you can do it. Middle age, older people, you can get it and live it and die with it. Praise God. Oh, when one's stronger. Praise God. I'm glad he didn't quit that night when I got saved. But he kept knocking, he kept talking, and he kept working. And finally, I got down and started praying. And when he got in there, boy, everything changed. It was different. The strong man had entered in. I'm going to tell you, there's strong enemies out there. Alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, gambling, adultery, idolatry, unforgiveness, fornication, envy, hatred, wrath, murder, jealousy, pride. Is this any of the strongholds that is holding you? A strong man, so to speak, a strong enemy that maybe just one of them, don't have to be a lot of them. There's some people live a pretty good life, but they've got one stumbling block. And that one thing has got them bound. And they can't get free from it. But there is somebody that can help you. His name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. And he come to deliver. Just like we heard last night. I appreciated that message last night. I tell you, it got right down to where we live. Well, this morning, this one, I'm preaching about the great Christ, the great deliverer of mankind. And he has done it so well, so long, that he don't even have to, if you want to use the word, rev the engine. He just moves in and takes care of it. Get out of the way, devil. I'm going to touch them, and when I do, there's going to be a change. Listen, there's no doctor. There's no drug. There's no psychiatrist or psychologist that has the power to help you like Christ can. Man can help us, but God is the healer. You remember that. He is the only one that can heal. Doctors can help us in our bodies. If you go to a doctor, he can maybe take something out or they sew things up or they set legs. But the bottom line is a doctor can't heal a bone. A doctor can't put your skin and heal it instantly like that. There's no way. But God can do all things. There was a woman one time, and I didn't know this. I just know of the story that the minister told. And there was she had broke a leg, and she was in her home, and the ministers come, and they was praying around her. And this one brother, he said, I saw a light. And he said it was a beam, and it was coming like this and coming together. And it bounced back, come together, and it bounced back. And he said all of a sudden it come together and it didn't bounce back. And said when he did, she started shouting and jumped out of that bed. Well, God healed that bone instantly right there. Listen, God, and Jesus Christ is able to heal you no matter what it is, no matter how big the enemy is, no matter how strong that enemy is. He can deliver you this morning. He wants to. That is his great blessing, is seeing man delivered from sin. Seeing them brought up. Think about it, folks. He gave his life for you. And he wants to take you and make you, just like the song was this morning, he wants to help you be just like him. Wants you to be able to stand and do the things. Oh, this morning. Where are you at this morning? What are you struggling with? The Lord wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and 10. We'll be finished here in just a few moments. I appreciate your time, attention this morning. 2 Timothy 3 and 10. And this is Paul, I believe it is, writing here to Timothy. And he said here, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, and persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now there's things that Paul went through that more than likely any of our ministers won't deal with. I probably will never be in the deep of the sea because of him. I probably will never have a snake come out and bite me out of a fire. there's things that Paul went through that more than likely none of us here will ever deal with. But the bottom line is, he helped him back there. He delivered him. And that's what Paul was pointing out this morning. Listen, I've gone through all these things, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There'll be some persecution with it, but the bottom line is, he is a deliverer, a great deliverer, the greatest deliverer. Deliverance means release from captivity, slavery, oppression, or any restraint. Oh, this morning, the Lord wants to release you. And oh, he done such a job with Paul back there. And he's still doing it today. There is still deliverance. That morning, down in that basement, I wanted to shout so bad I hurt. But I knew even though I was down, I probably would start waking up Molly Ann and Paige Pooh and Brother Marshall and Sister Melody. So guess what I done? I sat there and cried. I couldn't do anything. I had to do something and had to release because Jesus was visiting my soul. Listen, folks, there's nothing greater than that. Whether you be reading the Bible, which I was, or whether you be in a church service, the very fact that Jesus Christ had died for you, that's delivered you, he visits you. Listen, this thing is real, folks. This is not something I'm making up this morning. If it was, I'd have never got into it. I'd have never done what I'd done. I didn't want to preach anyway. Still, in a sense, don't want to preach. But he gave me a call. He's given me a burden. This thing is real, and we can have a relationship with the God of heaven and his Son Jesus and the Holy Ghost. We can have a relationship with them, the Creator. We can be married to the Son of God. I'm talking about married. We can be married to him. We can have the greatest companion of anybody, praise God. And I've had him for over 50 years now. 1971 in the spring, Brother Lawrence Pruitt and Sister Maybell come to visit Mama. And Mama had a son that was getting up marrying age. So she asked them, said, want to ask you a question. Is there any nice young ladies up there at Guthrie marriage age? Yeah. I guess where I went to the next camp meeting. I was going to Guthrie. Well, I started going and I kept going. But the thing of it is, I married Christ first and I didn't get married till 1983 and I got saved in 71. But I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed, and I'm still enjoying, my first companion. I get this right now, what I'm saying here. I know I've been married twice. I enjoyed being married to Rebecca, but the first one was before her several years. And I don't know, Mama had all these plans, but the Lord spoiled it as far as that part of it. But I've enjoyed being married to Jesus. Listen, he is the greatest companion you can have. He's the greatest deliverer. He's the greatest encourager. Listen, he can take a discouragement and he can flip that thing so fast that you're going, wow. You can be in the depths of grief and he can touch you so quickly and change that. You go, thank you. He can use one scripture. He can speak to you. In the fall, well, no, it wasn't fall. It was a month after Rebecca died. I was going home, and I had been down to the chapel, and there's another brother been down there, and he wanted me to come down there, and there was beds down there, and so we spent the night down there. And I was going back home, and I was crying and bawling and squalling, and I couldn't hardly drive for the tears. And I said, Lord, she was so young. She was so young, Lord. She was 59, almost 60 when she died. And the Lord spoke to me and said, age does not matter to me, child. It's eternity that counts. That took the tears away, got my focus back on him, and I got to thinking about that. I thought, that's what he come for. Age doesn't matter. He's got people in the graves and cemeteries anywhere from a baby or a newborn all the way up to 100 and some years old. But he come to deliver. He come to redeem. He come to do what nobody else could do. And he gave his life for that, praise God. And he's still interested in that today. To deliver thee. To bless thee, to help thee. Oh, this morning, the Lord wants to do a marvelous work for you now. Let's don't put it off. Let's not turn it down. Let the Lord work for you this morning. All right, 40 and 17 of the good book of Psalms. It said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, O my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Oh, this morning I beg you, let's put some movement to our thoughts, to our needs. Let's put some movement that, Lord, I want you to help me. I've struggled with this and struggled with this and struggled with this. Like that young lady said, but she said, I'm not going to get up till I get it. And I don't know how long she prayed, but she got up the next morning beaming, best I remember, and she said, I got it. I got it. Oh, this morning, you can get it. You can have it. The Lord wants to give it to you. All right, the last scripture I'm going to use is 70 and 1 of the good book of Psalms. It said, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. Is that our cry this morning? Lord, make haste. I need you, Lord. I want you. I've struggled with this. Now, saints, I'm not downing anybody. I'm just trying to give a positive message this morning that there is a Jesus Christ, the righteous, that's a great deliverer, and He can help you. He can deliver sinners. He can do anything for anybody in any way that they need and do it better than anybody else. All right, let's stand. Sang 412, I believe. He is able to deliver thee. Appreciate being here. I've enjoyed the meeting. We love you this morning. And let's look to God. Let's reach out to Him.